Welcome back all. That was such a brilliant day yesterday. I did the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride in the English countryside in the county of Hertfordshire. We went through three amazing locations, 45 minute ride in between the locations, 230 riders, everyone dressed up to the nines. It was such a fun day just seeing this snake of classic and modern classic motorbikes with everyone suited and booted, snaking around and then going through these little villages. It was magic. I loved every second of it. Thank you as ever, everyone, for tuning back in, sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comments section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, please do email hi@choosedetdobbs.com. This week, I'm starting off with a continuation of last week's chat. Harley Davidson's woes. I had such a huge amount of fascinating insight, not just from Europeans, but people all over the world. And it was the Americans' input, in fact, those from the USA, that I found especially interesting here. Two schools of thought. Number one, yes, Harley Davidsons have become overpriced, even in the USA. But importantly, there's a very significant number of Americans who are saying, look, USA, American-made stuff, American motorcycles, Indians and Harley Davidsons, they're being hard done by. The tariffs being imposed aren't level when you compare the US tariffs and the European tariffs. So there's no level playing field here. That's why things are out of kilt at the moment. So take a listen to this. See what you think about it. I did a lot of research on this and found it fascinating. From Charlie over in the US. Don't forget, the EU imposed a 50% tariff on Harley Davidsons in 2021. Back in 2014, it was 6%. They can't compete fairly in the EU. US sales have suffered under Biden's awful economic policies. So let's take a look at this. In 2021, a Forbes article stated this, quoting here, in June 2018, the EU levied a 25% incremental tariff on motorcycles imported from the EU. That now stands at 31%, and it's stated to reach 50% by the 1st of June 2021. But on the flip side of that, the United States, this is the fascinating bit, the US import tariffs for European motorbike makers ranging from Ducati to BMW sit at just 1.2% for engines up to 800cc and 2.4% on engines over 800cc. That is a staggeringly big difference in the tariffs. Carrying on with this, firmamotorcycling.eu, so an EU website. The European Commission is, this is a recent article, the European Commission is responding to the United States' decision to impose tariffs by implementing countermeasures designed to match the economic impact of those tariffs. So after the US decided to impose a 25% tariff on up to 26 billion euros worth of European Union steel, aluminium and related products, the EU plans to reinstate tariffs that were previously introduced, here we go, back in 2018 and 2020 on certain US imports. And that takes effect from the 1st of April, 2025. Just finishing off here, additionally, the EU is planning to introduce further measures by mid-April to maintain economic balance. One specific countermeasure confirmed by the European Commission is the imposition of a 50% additional duty on US origin motorcycles with engine capacity of over 500cc starting 1st of April. So of course the EU know that's in essence every single American built motorbike. The things tariffs do to global trade, eh? It's fascinating. I'm not a good enough economist to understand the workings of it, but just from a consumer point of view, it hits so hard when you're looking at things like motorcycles. So, have the US been treated unfairly here? There's one thing clear. Harley-Davidson made a number of big mistakes. The biggest one, of course, was getting rid of that air-cooled Sportster. And I said last week, it's a very, very poor excuse for anyone to say that they discontinued the air-cooled Sportster because they couldn't get it through the emissions regulations. All you have to do to look that, from what I've seen, that is nonsense, is the fact that the Chinese company Xinrei Group, that owns the brand SWM have now built what they call the Stormbreaker. This is, in essence, give or take a few bits and pieces, a carbon copy of the air-cooled Harley-Davidson Sportster. I don't exactly know how they've managed to get away with it. Some companies, some websites say that, inexplicably, Harley-Davidson sold the design rights to SWM. Look, I don't know if that's true, but the Stormbreaker is an exact copy of the old air-cooled Sportster. What's more, if you go onto SWM's website, they very proudly advertise the fact that this Stormbreaker will come to European showrooms at about 10,000 euros, or just under, which is phenomenal. And more than that, it's Euro 5 compliant, i.e. they've managed to get it past all of the emissions regulations. So there you go, there's proof enough that, of course, if you've got the desire, you can do anything you want. But that's enough about the Sportster. I'm going to show you a couple of quite eye-opening bits here with regards to what the duties and taxes can do for you and I, the consumer. Let's start off here. Over in the USA, the Harley-Davidson Nightster is $9,999. That's a good price. You've got to bear in mind with the US, every state has slightly different sales taxes. Some have zero taxes, some of course have more than that. So bear that in mind when I read out these US price quotes. But that is £7,477 for 1,000cc V-twin Harley-Davidson. I think that is very good value. But if you want that exact same motorcycle in the UK, you would have to pay £13,295. That's, as near makes no difference, a £6,000 difference in price. Exactly the same motorcycle, just with the taxes, the duties, everything that goes around it. In the UK, we have to pay £6,000 more for that motorbike. And if you go somewhere like Sweden, it's even more expensive than we have it in the UK. But things weren't always like that. Remember what I was saying about the taxes and the duties being imposed in 2018 and 2020 from the EU over to the USA? Listen to this. Back in August 2017, in the UK, the Harley-Davidson Iron 883 was £8,132 brand new. To give you some relativity on this, if you would have liked the Triumph T100, that is the head-to-head rival of the 883 Sportster, this is the Triumph with the 900cc engine, the British Triumph being sold in Britain, and that, back in 2017, was £8,500. So the entry-level Harley-Davidson was cheaper back in 2017 than the Triumph Bonneville 900cc. Now the difference is so colossal, they're in a completely different price bracket. But back then, somehow Harley-Davidson managed to undercut the entry-level Bonneville with their Sportster. I was staggered when I saw that. A couple more interesting bits here. I love looking at these, going through all of the old prices of bikes year on year. In the UK, a Triumph T100 right now is £9,945. And in the USA, remember, you may have to add sales tax in a lot of states. A Triumph T100 is $11,500, and that translates to £8,600. So it's still cheaper to buy a Triumph Bonneville in the USA than it is in the UK. And it's not just Triumph and Harley-Davidson. Ducati, Desert X Rally in Italy, translating to pounds sterling, £19,182. If you want to buy one in the USA, £17,538 equivalent. So even if you add on the sales taxes, at the very least, it's the same price. Probably you're going to be paying less for buying that Ducati in the USA than you are even in Italy. But then things change here. If I were looking at buying an Indian motorcycle, if I were buying an Indian Scout 60 Classic, that's 13,690 euros in Italy, which is 11,522 pounds. But in the USA, it's 8,994 pounds. So either way here, any way you look at this, American motorcycles are losing out. It does look like, from what I found, it's not quite a fair playing field. And I would love to hear any of your thoughts if I've overlooked something huge here. But it is fascinating to see that regardless of tariffs and politics and everything around that, the American motorcycle brands do seem to have a slightly unfair deal here. I'll move on. This is exciting. Norton Motorcycles. They may be expanding to make something more affordable for the masses. Exactly what Harley-Davidson need to do. Take a listen to this. This is from Maurice. Freddie, I've just seen this on my Norton Owners Club site. I think you might be interested in it. Maurice, this is completely new news to me. I didn't know about this. So, Norton are apparently developing a 350 to 400cc single cylinder engine bike, as well as, I've seen on some websites, they may also be looking into building a 600 to 650cc bike to rival the likes of the Royal Enfield Interceptor and the Triumphs as well. They'll be built by TVS, that's the parent company of Norton, and we have to assume, of course, all of the motorbikes will be built out in India, because that's the only way you're ever going to be able to get the economies of scale needed to make these bikes at an attainable price and actually make some money from it. But Norton have big global plans, if these articles are anything to go by, and within the next two and a half years, end of 2027 to maybe early 2028, we could have a whole host of new Norton motorbikes. This is one that really got me. This website here, Royal Enfield Killer, ? They've said. And just below this image, I'll put this image up now. My knowledge on Nortons isn't quite good enough. I don't know if this is just a classic old Norton, or if this is something legit that they think they could make a sub 500cc, 600cc maybe Norton look like. If it could look anything like this, step back everyone. Norton are going to be one of the new kings of the division, because that is a stunningly good looking bike. Under this picture it says TVS Motor working on this sub 500cc Norton to rival the Royal Enfield. Representative image, okay. But if it could look anything like that, whatever that model of Norton is, get ready everyone, because that'll be a serious player within the industry. To Toby now. Freddie, I recently passed my motorbike license in the UK and now I'm the proud owner of a brand new Honda CB650R. Since getting it last week, remember that's just last week, I've racked up 450 miles and have been loving every minute of it. The fantastic weather has certainly helped. Get ready for this. At 600 miles, this bike needs its first service. So I phoned up my closest Honda dealer today to be shocked that there is over a 6-week waiting list just to get its first basic service. Apparently the issues with all the motorcycle dealerships closing. The amount of pressure on the remaining garages has skyrocketed and they simply can't keep up. The dealer said I was probably fine riding it to 800 miles, but after that, Honda may question the validity of the 5-year Honda warranty. Oh, this is the problem with it. I now find myself in a position of having to ration how much I ride my new motorbike. I certainly can't keep my current pace up. Sitting and polishing it in the garage will have to keep me happy for a while. That's Toby from Cheltenham. Toby, this is quite heartbreaking. You've bought a new bike. You've got all of the excitement of riding now. You've already covered huge mileage, so clearly you want to be on it all the time. The weather is phenomenal at the moment. Literally hasn't been any rain for the past 6 weeks. And June is just around the corner. So let's say you book in your motorbike to be serviced now. I'm filming this on the 20th of May. You're not going to get your bike back until the beginning of July. This is just insane, the things going on in the industry at the moment. And it's the knock-on cause of everything. The main deal is closing. Here are the negatives for you and I. One thing I would say, I'd be curious on other people's thoughts here. This is a 5-year warranty, so this is big, and I can understand you'd want to protect that. But a lot of motorbikes have, for example, a 2-year warranty. We're all covered under the Standard Consumer Rights Act of 2015, basically meaning for at least 2 years, your vehicle has to be fit for purpose. If anything big happens to it, regardless of what the motorcycle companies say with the amount of warranty they give, you are covered by the legal UK and European length of warranty for 2 years. So even if you don't get the Honda service from a Honda main dealer, you're still going to be in very safe hands for 2 years. So if you don't want to sacrifice that 6 weeks worth of waiting, you could, Toby, just, is this irresponsible? Decide to take a risk, take it to a local mechanic or try and service it yourself and just bank on the fact that for 2 years you're safe with the Consumer Rights Act and also bank on the fact that it's a Honda and it's probably not going to break down anyway. Because I agree with you, I don't know if I could wait. I'm impatient, but I don't know if I could wait 6 weeks. Peak summer, peak riding season, you've just passed. The excitement levels would be too high. Toby, thank you for highlighting that. The big negatives of these main dealers closing down faster than I can keep up with. On now to Dale on an incredible road trip with a slight difference here. Dale, I like what you've done with this. My Moto Guzzi V7, a plain no-nonsense bike, nothing to get excited about, yet has consistently taken me on so many adventures without any major issues. And it's my go-to bike when I'm thinking of doing long miles, like Iceland last year. I've done recently a 4-day tour around the UK. That's 1,969 miles. My longest day was 724 miles. I set off on Sunday for camping in Elgin. Monday morning, Elgin Greggs, then off to Omaha to camp. Tuesday morning, Omaha Greggs, remember that, Greggs. Then head south to Truro. Wednesday morning, Truro Greggs, and then across to Lowestoft for tea. Then home, Wednesday was my longest day, that's biker Dale. Dale, this is superb. The thing that makes this extra superb is you're riding one of the classiest motorcycles, full stop, and you've decided to base your tour of the UK on finding Greg's bakeries along the way. Take a look at this map that Dale has decided to follow. So for any non-Brits, Greg's bakeries are known for their efficiency and availability over and above the quality of their products. I hope I'm not being too harsh there, but you'll see them at most service stations along the motorways, for example, and everything is just ready and good value and you'll be full enough, but it's not gourmet type stuff here we're having. So to do a UK type trip with Greg's as your points, I think the furthest north, south, east and west, if I remember looking at Dale's picks, that is such a brilliant thing to do. I laughed when I first saw that. And Dale, incredible looking picks. Considering you had to get the ferry over to Ireland and back as well, phenomenal to do it in that time. And the amount of bikes on the ferry, it shows how nice the weather's been that even in May, heading over to Ireland, you can get a ferry that looks seemingly full of bikers. Brilliant, brilliant looking atmosphere. To Matthias now, a German who's headed over. This is another huge trip, headed over to England for a special reason. Freddie, I know that you've got a thing for these air-cooled boxer engines from BMW, especially when they come in such an attractive package as the BMW R1200 Cruiser. Since your channel motivated me to take part in this year's Distinguished Gentleman's Ride, I didn't want to withhold these pictures from you. So together with my dad, who rode this bike before me, we made our way to Munster in Germany via the Rotterdam to Hull ferry to Leicester in England for the event organised in the area. That is the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride event. All the way over Germany to Leicester. On the way, we were simply overwhelmed by the spectacular roads of the Peak District and many picturesque little towns, and above all, the welcoming and open-minded people. My father had such a blast, it certainly will not be our last visit to England. Matthias, I'm delighted you had a good time. You made it over to the DGR and also you got such a nice welcome from the English locals. Delighted to see it. I think that's one of the biggest DGR road trips I've heard of. So massive, massive congrats on completing it, and have a great ride back to Germany. And to see, you know, a lot of people wouldn't do this on the BMW R1200C, to do such a big journey on what is now getting to be an old bike. These old BMWs, I love them. Now, bike of the week. I really had to pick only one brand here, Harley Davidson. This is from Rob. Rob, you didn't know this, but well done. Bike of the week. Freddie, I bought this used 2021 Harley Davidson Sport Glide, 5,000 miles. Upgraded Harley Davidson seat, backrest. Reinstalled stock muffler versus Cobra slip-on, which was just too loud. The Harley is phenomenal. The bike offers such a relaxed cruising along the main mountains and ocean roads. The summer Sport Glide trip to beautiful Quebec this summer. Wow, what a trip. Rob, fantastic. Congrats on the new bike. And this is a very fitting bike of the week because it's a bike I know very well. I've done a lot of miles on one of these. And this, for me, it's the very best of Harley Davidson. Beautiful, beautiful build quality. Perfect amount of power. Surprisingly good handling that really it has no right to handle like it does. And the chameleon effect with this bike. This can be a full-on tour with beautiful quality panniers and a little wind visor at the front. Take all of that stuff off, no more than 2 minutes, and you've got as elegant and timeless a stripped back cruiser motorbike that you could ever imagine. The silhouette is as classic as you could imagine. It is vintage Harley Davidson. I was amazed when I took the panniers off and it went from being a bike that I would tour Europe on to one that you just want to cruise at 10 to 20 miles an hour through the cities and show off. It's a seriously special bike, this. Brand new, they are £18,500 in the UK, and it's got 86 horsepower from that gigantic V-twin engine. 18 and a half grand is a lot of money, but they came out in 2018 and I found one, a really special one here. I was about to show you one that is under 10 grand, but then I thought, why don't I check eBay and have a look to see if I can find one that's been a write-off? Because a lot of the time, especially with these high-end bikes like Harley Davidson's, the expensive bikes are written off so readily, simply because the parts are so expensive. But actually, a lot of the time, it's just ridiculous why bikes are written off. There's nothing structurally wrong with them. It could just be a pannier or a fairing that's broken. But because it's so much to buy one of these brand new, the insurance companies just write them off. And all you have to do is, for example, go online and find a used one. There you go, you've got a perfect looking bike. And this is a case in point. 2018 Harley Davidson Sport Glide, category N. So N means non-structural. It has been a technical write-off from an insurance company, but there was never anything structural. And you can see in the description, this happened 2 weeks after purchase. So someone bought this motorbike and they dropped it 2 weeks after buying it, and it was a write-off. Imagine that. Imagine buying your pride and joy, and then you drop it or you crash it and it's a write-off. There you go, done. My pride and joy literally 2 weeks later is done. Well, that's what happened with this. This was 7 years ago. This bike is minimum £2,500 cheaper than an equivalent bike that hasn't been a write-off. A sub £8,000 Sport Glide is a seriously good deal. So if you're looking for one of these summer cruising, that's the one to go for, I have no doubt. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching this week's episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. Have a brilliant week, and I'll see you all in the next one.